Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's NOOM.com to sign up for your trial today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 26th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I did you a disservice yesterday. I had a brain fart. I did not put out the podcast. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you two podcasts back to back today. All right, we're going to record one right now that is me talking about everything that happened in Saturday's pitchers, because I feel like for a lot of people, it's a good way to get your summary of what happened. So you're going to see two Plus Pitch podcasts on the feed today. I apologize for the confusion, but yeah, we're going to do this. So Bobby Miller, 4 innings, 6 earned runs, 10 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. This was against the Astros. I watched this one. And sure, the command wasn't as good as we have seen in the past, but man, it was such a ridiculous fifth inning nightmare. And I really don't think that this is a sign of Bobby Miller being one of those prospects that just, oh, we thought he was good and he isn't anymore. I truly believe in what Bobby Miller does. I think it's a phenomenal slider. I think the command of the fastballs inside is so good. And you guys know how much I love O-swing on sinkers and fastballs. Against same-handed batters. And I think Bobby Miller has that with an elite secondary in that slider as well. And also, we've seen the changeup and curveball come alive too. So Bobby Miller, to me, is still a legitimate top 30 pitcher. Probably going to have to lower him a little from the list this past week just because that was 2 in a row of this opportunity. Maybe I'm not weighing that too enough. But I really do think that Bobby Miller is a very, very special pitcher. Luis Severino went on Saturday against the Rangers. 6 innings, 0 earned runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. And this was not nearly as good as that line looks. I was actually at this game and my friend noticed that he's a pitcher, that Severino's mechanics were slowing down when he was throwing a changeup or a cutter and then sped up with a fastball. And I do wonder if that's kind of part of the reason with Severino is that not only would the Rangers maybe pick up on that, or other teams have been, and that's why those pitches were not good. Cutters returned 6 out of 16 strikes, and the changeup went 1 for 25 whiffs. But also the fact that if Severino is not being consistent with every single pitch, it's harder to get into a rhythm. You're just doing different things. So I wonder if that's something that can be like, hey, you gotta really go one speed, and sure, you can obviously, like, you don't want to go max effort every time, but like have a thing that you do every single time. It's just a grip and release point, you know? So I'm feeling a little weird about Severino. I still think the fastball is good. This was a really like laborious, and like, I'm amazed that he was able to go 6 innings shutout here. That's just kind of the Rangers being weird at the moment. But yeah, Severino is a little scary to me. He's going to fall on the list even after this good start. Griffin Canning in Coors was so good. 6 innings shutout, 4 innings, 0 walks and 7 Ks, got the gold star. 39% fastballs in this, which I talk a lot about the secondaries having to be really good to be able to have Canning succeed. But to be able to do this with 39% fastballs is actually really good. The changeups are great. Sliders got whiffs. Curveball's got strikes. He does get the Arizona Diamondbacks and Dodgers next, and I'm still a little worried about that. It might be a case where you can leave Canning on the wire and then return to him after the All-Star break. Because keep in mind also, Canning being a part of a 6-man rotation, he'll get those 2 starts, and then he's in the back end of that rotation, so then it'll be another week until you see him again. So it's really like 3 weeks or so, maybe even 4, that you're not going to see Canning, which is rough, but he will become a good add, I think, at the end of July. Josiah Gray against the Dodgers also could have gotten a gold star. Same with Brian Hoeing. And I'll talk, you know, I'll go more into detail about Hoeing in a second. Against the Padres, you saw Josiah Gray try to go sinkers instead of cutters and fastballs as really the main pitches. Now, the cutter was effective for 4 for 12 whiffs, but the sinker really was that thing. And I don't really think that the sinker is the answer to Josiah Gray figuring out how to create a foundation to allow his slider really soar. Now, it was a 43% CSW, so maybe I should just kind of ignore what I think about and what he's doing, but The sweeper went just 9 for 22 strikes. And this was 4 walks, 4 hits, 6 Ks, 0 earned runs, 5.1 innings against the Padres. And honestly, I think any Padres fan will tell you about their struggles with men on base this past week or so. And Josiah Gray, I guess, got fortunate with that. I really don't think that you should be going for Josiah Gray in your fantasy teams. Brian Hoeing went against the Pirates and actually turned into a really good stream. I remember actually when I was doing my rankings, like thinking to myself, should I be raising Hoeing a little bit? Because here's the thing. He did go limited 65 pitches. And I felt like that was really the aspect that was like, okay, Hoeing isn't going to go long in this one. And he does not have electric stuff. He went 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 0 hits, 3 walks, 2 Ks. How does Hoeing do that? Well, if you see a line like that, where you see 0 hits and like 2 strikeouts, you can probably guess what the guy does. It's usually not going to be a four-seam focused guy because four-seamers are more either, they're more risk-reward in general than sinkers are. Sinkers are trying to go for fewer strikeouts for more weaker contact in general. And that's what Hoeing does really well. He's a right-hander. He stands all the way on the third base side of the rubber and tries to jam right-handers endlessly with this sinker. It's a power sinker, right? Mid-90s, he has a decent command for it, and that's really all he goes for. The slider is this big loopy one that is not going to be like, oh my gosh, look at that. It is not that big bite pitch. It really feels like a Gausman slider. For those that are familiar with that, they're like, oh no, yeah, that's not a good pitch. I'm like, I know. And a changeup that can work paired off of the sinker for Brian Hoeing, but it's just not really the kind of guy I want to go for. Now, I do want to mention those 3 walks are a product of Hoeing not giving in to batters. He's very much like, I have this sinker, and I'm just going to make you chase it out of the zone, or I'm going to make my pitches, and I'm very terrified to throw the sinker like down the middle, which is good, because sinkers down the middle are really, really bad. I think it's the worst pitch you can throw down the middle. So it might be one of those Dallas Keuchel like neckbeard things. Hoeing really needs a cutter. He needs a cutter that he can throw inside to right-handers. If he doesn't have that, he's going to continue to be a really good pitcher against right-handers, but I think lefties are where he's going to struggle the most. And keep that in mind moving forward. If you see a right-handed heavy lineup, Hoeing might be a better play there than against a team that can throw a ton of lefties at him. Justin Steele went in the London game for the Cubs, and his second start back from the IL was magnificent against the Cardinals. Got the win, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 8 Ks, 89 pitches here. And now, it was only a 21% CSW and 8 whiffs. I said it was magnificent based on the line, but the actuality of this was that his slider is not at its peak. 3 out of 22 slider whiffs is not it. And the four-seamer, honestly, was either really foul or it went for strikeouts, I guess, and outs. Like, it was strange. The Cardinals did not take advantage of him, and then he got these later at-bats, and then he was able to put them away effectively in those moments. But overall, it was to get you 2 strikes with a lot of foul balls, and then all of a sudden he put them away, right? Only 8 whiffs on 8 strikeouts, which is kind of wild. He does have Cleveland and Milwaukee next, and you're going to say, oh, Nick, a lot of called strikes. No, 21% CSW, so yeah. You're starting Justin Steele in those, right? It's been a very strange season where I don't feel that we've seen the best version of Justin Steele yet this year, which is really the slider dominating. That was what got him through 2022, and it was a question like, is the fastball good enough? But this year, it's been the fastball that's really been winning games for him. So if the fastball stays this really good commanded pitch, and then the slider actually takes that level, that's great. I don't know what we're going to see, but you're starting for those two. Okay, cool. I'm going to talk about everyone else from Saturday's games. And remember, there is a podcast that's going to come out, I guess, like 30 minutes later about Monday or Sunday's games. But we're going to talk all about Saturday's games after this break. Are you ready to step up to the plate and show off your fantasy baseball skills? Check out Underdog's Fantasy 7th Inning Stretch Tournament from now through July 14th, where you can build your dream team and compete against your friends for the $150,000 in total prizes. So what are you waiting for? Visit the link in the episode description and use promo code PITCHERLIST to receive 100% deposit match up to $100. Join us in the 7th inning stretch tournament and experience the thrill of fantasy baseball like never before on Underdog. Good luck and may the best team win. Must be 18 or older, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, 21 and older in Massachusetts and Arizona, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. And in Tennessee, call 1-800-889-9789. Tanner Bibee against the Brewers, 6 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 4 walks, and 7 strikeouts. So you love to see the 7 strikeouts, 1 earned run, 6 innings. Changeup excelled at 47% CSW, but really he stayed Verdi. And if you don't know this, this is what Tanner Bibee says, I believe, on his inside of his hat or on his glove. One of the two, I can't remember. But it's all about keeping vertical with his four-seamer, which is obviously good because, yeah, he has a good four-seamer and we know that he has bad command, but if he's able to stay vertical, like we want him to hit a lot of high lock on that four seamer. And I love the fact that we know that that's his intent. And he did it in this one. He had 8 whiffs on that. And that really opened that door to the changeup staying down. Now the changeup wasn't always down and the slider is, it's all over the place. It doesn't have that curve and I can see it when Bibee gets that fastball up and everything else is down. Like the Blake Snell blueprint is made for Tanner Bibee. And when he's at some point going to lock into that, it might not even be this year, Bibee's going to be really good. But I don't know if it's going to be next year or never or next start. I don't know. For right now, we keep holding on to Tanner Bibee because obviously 16 whiffs, 35% CSW, we see the potential there. Reese Olson's also very interesting. He went against the Twins, got the win, 5.1 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. This was my streaming play on Saturday. So glad it worked out. 13 whiffs with a 36% CSW. He earned a King Cole. Now, this was the slider game, and I've talked about Olson because he has 2 fastballs it actually does really well with, I think. The sinker has a good lateral movement that you can jam right-handers with. And the four-seamer is also a little bit lateral. I don't really think of that as a whiff pitch, but I think he does a good job of going east-west separation with, and also a little bit of southern. So it's kind of like a, not the Imperial Shuttle that Fast likes, but actually like the upside-down triangle, where it's a changeup down, slider away, and then fastballs inside to right-handers, right? And the changeup actually was bad in this one. It was 0 for 7 strikes. Like, it didn't even, like, work. But because the slider was so good at 11 over 33 whiffs, that's a 33% swing strike rate, 48% CSW, well, there you go, while the four-seamer went 11 called strikes and a 38% CSW. That's how this worked for Reese Olson. Imagine if he gets the changeup back, too, and now he gets the athletics. Like, I want this. You're getting Reese Olson. Go get him. For that start, I really, really dig that. I apologize. I'm giving you bad information. It's the Rangers next. Don't want that. but then I want the Athletics after. So you might be able to actually just, if you're like, oh, no, I didn't get Reese Olson. It's okay. It's the Rangers next. But then circle that start against the Athletics 100%. He will be my streamer there. Unless there's someone else. But, I mean, he'll be a probable start for me there, which is crazy. John Gray against the Yankees. I should have done Suitman for that. Suitman whispers in my ear, oh, I'm getting here now that it was the Rangers instead of the Athletics. John Gray against the Yankees. I was at this game. 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. If you've ever been to a baseball game with me, it's kind of funny. There are times when I just want to relax and I don't really like focus what's going on. But then I lock in and it's so funny because usually when I go to these games, people aren't like in tune with John Gray and what he does or the fact that like, it's a 2-0 count after trying to throw 2 sliders and he misses with both. So obviously he's going to throw a fastball to Giancarlo Stanton or something like that, right? And I'm like shaking in my chair being like, oh my gosh, what is this next pitch going to be? And they're like, what are you doing, Nick? Why are you like so tense right now? But anyway, John Gray was at 96 in the four seamer, but the slider wasn't good. It was 4 out of 35 whiffs. And this, I'm worried about John Gray. I said it before. He was in rhythm. It was peak John Gray. And then it's always what always happens to him is that there's some obstacle, whether it's the IL. In this situation, it was a blister that made him skip a start. So he didn't pitch in 10 days. Then he went against the Blue Jays, got rocked and didn't have his good stuff. And then he went against the Yankees here and did not have his good stuff. Right. I mean, the velocity is there, but the command was not. And that's what matters more with John Gray is command. of the slider and the fastball, and that's both not here. Good news is that he gets the Tigers next. So John Gray, we hold on to that. We don't really feel like, oh no, it's a gauntlet of outings and maybe I want to get ahead of this. No, we start him against the Tigers and we cross our fingers that he gets back into rhythm there. That makes us feel good after. James Paxton went against the White Sox, was looking good until he had left with a knee injury. And this is something that apparently was bothering me in the previous start, and he pitched through and he said it's fine. He said that he's okay. He's like, it's all right. I'm going to be, you know, maybe I'll just like take an extra days off or something. But he doesn't expect an IL, which is good. They just want to be a little cautious here. Fine. Please be all right. I know everyone's like, oh, well, this is what I knew about James Paxton. Well, you got all these great starts for the price of free. So that's cool. And you never know. So hopefully he's just back in like a week or something like that and we're still good. And not to mention, it's the All-Star break. So I think a lot of times you're going to see these guys who are weird at the moment, who are going to get a little bit extra rest because it is the All-Star break. So if you see someone like James Paxton, I wouldn't be shocked if they just said, you know what, return at the All-Star break, rest your knee or something. Or they might like schedule it out so that he can pitch in the next game and then get another like extended amount of rest, right? Ryan Walker against the Diamondbacks. It was an opening for the Giants. We move on. Sean Manaea tossed 20 pitches. If anyone's really investing in Sean Manaea, just stop. Cool. Great. Max Scherzer against the Phillies. Ace is going to ace here. 8 strikeouts in 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, whatever. 40% CSW on the slider is really good to see. Jose Berríos is still doing his wonderful things. It's actually kind of interesting. The four-seamer was the least featured pitch, but it still was thrown a decent amount. And he did really well against the Athletics. 8 strikeouts here, 2 earned runs in 6 innings. The changeup came alive, which was cool. We keep going with the great Fundulator now. Not the Undulator, the Fundulator. Osvaldo Baido was likely a streaming option for a lot of you that you might have gone with. Did well against the Marlins for 5.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 9 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. So he doesn't really have the best combination of stuff. He got a little bit singled out. Slider was 1 for 27 whiffs. But think of it like Luis Ortiz almost. It's pretty similar, I think, where Ortiz does have a little bit better stuff. But he does have an opportunity, Baido, of just kind of willing his way through a start. And he does get the Brewers, and he threw a lot of strikes here, so maybe that does work out. Matt Waldron is a knuckleballer, and that's really cool, but we don't trust him. And it's sad because Michael Wacha needs a little bit of rest with his shoulder fatigue. That might be a situation we might not see him until after the All-Star break. I hope he comes back soon because Michael Wacha, man, that's a story of a guy who's been trying to get his payday for a while and really have his real breakout. And this looked like it was it with that changeup. And I feel so bad for him. Shintaro Fujinami was the opener and did not do his part with 4 hits and 2 earned runs in 0.2 innings. And Hogan Harris didn't do any better with 4.2 innings of 4 earned runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, and 6 Ks. But it was against the Jays. Now, he does get the White Sox and Detroit next. And that honestly might be decent for your 15-teamers as Hogan Harris is a kitchen sink guy who will be open for, which then does open some, I guess, greater chance at a win. Is the Athletics, but maybe that is something you want to do. Dean Kramer against the Mariners won 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. It was interesting. He increased his velocity as he went through this outing. The cutter was good for 42% CSW, but I don't know. I think the Mariners swing out of the zone a little bit too much. I feel like the whole thing is just weird with Dean Kramer. I don't believe the cutter is this good. I don't think the fastball should have performed as well as it did. It wasn't really like the big upstairs thing. But it's the Twins and Yankees next, and I think one of those two should be good. I don't know. Dean Kramer's kind of like he's essentially like a Toby almost at this point. Or at least he's trying to be. Okay. Ronald Blanco went against the Dodgers. 6 innings, 300 runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. That's what? Blanco went 54% sliders with a 23% swinging strike rate and 34% CSW across 53 of them. That's insane. And he commanded it super well down and away to right-handers. He had a solid changeup that was not as good, but was pretty, you know, was away from lefties. And then the four-seamer was a sub-60% strike rate with a 13% CSW. So that's why you saw 54% sliders. But hey, keep that slider usage and then have a better fastball. I actually kind of wonder if that's it. And of course, the Astros just find a way to do this. He does get the Rangers next. You don't want that. But Blanco against Rocky Road after the All-Star break, or actually right before it, could be something that you want to circle as well. Pablo Lopez went against the Detroit Tigers. 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, which isn't good. Close to a very poor quality start. But it was 10 strikeouts with 18 whiffs. And the four-seamer is getting elevated. This is a pitch that's jumped 20 points from last year in high location to be close to 55% now, as opposed to going like middle or down around the 30s before. And it's a huge difference for him at 95 mile per hour velocity. The curve stepped up for strikes instead of the slider and the changeup, which is really cool to see. I think he essentially found a groove with the curveball, and so he decided not to use a sweeper that much. I love that he has another option that could show up on a given night. The changeup has been kind of weird. It hasn't been as elite of a pitch as we've seen in the past. Sweeper and changeup both return just 14% CSW here. But he found a way to, you know, he went with what worked, and that's really cool. Lance Lynn against the Red Sox had 19 whiffs for a gallows pole, 7 Ks, and he threw a terrible cutter to Casas, who hit a home run, and it drove him nuts, and it drove me nuts, and that was it. That's really it. 5.2 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks. And we're still in kind of purgatory here. He gets the Angels and the Jays, and he didn't have his secondaries. Why Lance Lynn had 16 strikeouts is because the curve, the slider, and the changeup all were really good. And this was just 4 seamers and cutters. So we're kind of back to the same guy he was before. Now, keep in mind, of course, that bad cutter to Casas really was the difference maker of this being a fantastic outing and not one. But it feels a little like, okay, you don't have the thing that you did before, though. So, and that felt like a weird peak that won't show up against Angels and the Jays. So we're in this purgatory. Do we hold on to Lance Lynn or not? Christopher Sanchez against the Mets went 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 4 Ks. He's a lefty that has a sinker that sometimes gets outs and stuff. And, like, I just don't care. I really don't care. I don't think Chris Sanchez is the answer. Freddy Peralta against the Guardians is very disappointing. Yes, I told you, I'm going through all this. I'm giving you the time that you deserved from yesterday. Against the Guardians, 5 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. 4-seamer is really good, but the slider went 8 for 20 strikes, and it's annoying. And I feel like Peralta's like right there, and he should be so much better than he is. It's so strange. It really is really, really strange to me. And I feel like he's a good buy low because of this. He doesn't have an injury. The 4-seamer is still really good. It was a slight tick down, and you know, I remember fielding a question. I was like, oh, I think he's injured because of the slight velocity dip and the command is worse than the breaker. I don't believe that. I'm not going to do that. Bryce Miller had a bad start against the Orioles, 4.1 innings of 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, 4 Ks. And the 4-seamer just wasn't as good. 5 over 53 whiffs. Slider was okay. Not enough to save him. The velocity declined dramatically through the start, and it is a little scary to see that, but he's also done that consistently. And I think over time, Bryce Miller does do better with stamina as he, you know, he works through it, right? This is how you get better. You pitch more and eventually you develop the stamina and you don't get fatigued as much. The four-seamer's properties are still just so good that I think we need to continue to buy in here on Bryce Miller. There was talk in the chat about Brian Wu versus Bryce Miller, because Wu has a really good four-seamer, but Bryce Miller's is just better. Jordan Lyles isn't good and don't start him. Jared Schuster isn't very good and don't start him. Graham Ashcraft came back and he's destructive once again. Don't start him. Merrill Kelly did poorly against the Giants, and it was really weird because he went just 17% changeups, and they were really good, and I don't understand why he didn't throw more of them, but whatever. So keep starting Merrill Kelly. It was a bad start. 5 earned runs, 10 hits, 2 walks, 2 Ks, and 5 innings. I don't expect that to happen. Don't start Adam Wainwright. Don't start Yonny Chirinos. And don't start Chase Anderson. All right, it's kind of interesting. All the good guys were above, and all the bad ones were below today. But right, that is it for Saturday's games. There's going to be another podcast after this, so I'm going to record that now. But that is all for today. So my name is Nick Pollock. Hit me your BABIPs below, and your strikeouts high.